about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody. We're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge. So ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, wild and intelligent hive mind. Today is October the 25th, 2021. I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Welcome to the 50th Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. The website for the show is cubbyhole.com. That's CUBBYWHOLE.com. You can now listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Odyssey, YouTube, and much more. I want to say thanks to Brandon for getting the Cubbyhole podcast all up to speed on Odyssey and YouTube. Really appreciate that. So if that's a platform that you're used to listening to, definitely tune in and check us out on there. We are going to continue further into the Entered Apprentice today, okay? But first, I wanted to say thank you to those who have given feedback for these shows. It's been really awesome to hear people having a really great experience listening and learning. You know, I've been getting a lot of great feedback from people who seem to be really benefiting from this content. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to hear that. It's really nice to know this type of information is reaching people in a positive way. Now, last week, I covered much of the symbols in the tracing board known as the Entered Apprentice, including the checkerboard floor, the level, plumb rule, and square, also the dot with a circle, the greater lights, including the book with the square and compass on top. I covered the meaning of the compass under the square on the floor and the initiates, the beings, the three beings on the ladder, plus the anchor, the key, and the directions, especially west and east. And at the end, I began to speak about the two pillars of Joachim and Boaz, the left and right pillar. Okay? And that's where I'm going to begin to navigate towards today, towards the pillars and the three eastern lights. Okay? So I made some slides for this show today, so make sure to follow along on the Cubbyhole website under the podcast section at the show number 50. A few things I'd like to put a finer point on before we explore the pillars is the Masonic words, true care, the tracing board, and the anchor, okay? Now, one thing I know really well when it comes to Masonic words is how cryptic they are, okay? You know, the whole science and language of Freemasonry is cryptic, and that's really, really important to understand. But what I'm trying to say is I really know how hard it is for beginners and skeptics to even approach wordplay with any type of seriousness, you know, because It's we're raised to think or look at words, you know, at wordplay and puns as jokes only. We're taught that there's nothing more to a word than, you know, what its definition says or how it's supposed to sound, right? But it really is important to understand, especially in Freemasonry, how encoded or how encrypted it is. And when we learn how to entertain words phonetically, you know, how we hear the similar sound in words, then we at least are seeing how there may be or may not be something more encoded into the words that we're dealing with when looking into the mysteries, into the mystery traditions. We really have to remember that if we are dealing with what's known as the oldest mystery tradition, known as Freemasonry, a science of symbols, used not only in a positive symbolic way, but also a perverted and twisted way used for control, well, then it's only logical that the language of Freemasonry is encoded in all language, including the letters and numbers that the majority of the world uses every day, right? And has for a very long time. So the letters and numbers we use every day are, in fact, symbols. And you better believe that most of them, if not all numbers and letters, are Masonic in their origin. And my point is that when we are studying the occult, and especially the occult, then we must think dualistically in terms of thinking phonetically and literally if we are to, you know, keep an open mind to words meaning something more than just their surface meaning, their exoteric meaning, their outer meaning, okay? Their generic meaning. And this type of thinking or this type of language in Freemasonry is known as green language, which is something we've talked about many times on this show and something I'll be going further into as we continue. And I actually broke down the green language in my newest presentation, Reillumination of the Imagination. But this language is also known as phonetic law and the art of light. So when you hear any words that are specifically or especially unique to Freemasonry, then it's a good practice to look deeper into those words. And I'm saying this because as I move through these symbols and usage of Masonic words, I realize how it can be pretty hard for many to understand the significance in the connections, right? We have to realize that many words are encrypted for the serious student to unravel in order to, you know, see further or in order to find the answer that can't be found in the common vernacular, right? It's so freaking crazy how encrypted it is, but it's really important if we're really trying to understand ourselves and understand the language that helps us get back into understanding our origins. And it's not just limited to humans who've encrypted this language. It's also, you know, the universe. We're getting some help from the universe in this way. The universe is always speaking in more ways than we can imagine. But it's also important to keep in mind that sometimes words and symbols just don't have much more depth to them, right? You know, there's just nothing more to them. It's you know, when you've left no stone unturned, so to speak, you know, you've looked through everything and you just realize, well, there's nothing more to this symbol, and you move on. And that's okay. And, you know, we can't fear being wrong when looking deeper into words either. If we are using the trivium process and using logic with the word and its actual definition and etymology, then we are, you know, we're being more honest in our approach, which gives more validation to the conclusion that we come to. So that's something important that I feel needs to be addressed as we move through these topics. Okay. So I wanted to, I'm going to switch gears here. There's something I really wanted to clear up and expand on, which is the word trestle. Now, the word trestle is interesting. And as you've listened to me speak about it, I've been learning more about it. It simply means a support of something, okay? It's like an easel. And now my further understanding of it is it's the support or board we trace upon, okay? So trestle is the board used on the floor of the house, the Masonic house, the lodge, right? It's it's on the pavement. And Masons have traditionally traced in chalk. They've traced on this trestle board they use this trestle board as the tracing board, the outline of the floor plan or lodge arrangement, you know, for the ornaments and the jewels. And this is about being able to trace the symbols and degrees on the trestle board. So the trestle board supports the act of tracing out the lodge. Now, on that note, something else that I wanted to just really hammer home is this important point regarding the tracing board and the word tracing. The wordplay on tracing. Now, on the last show, I mentioned how the tracing board is about tracing ourselves back to our origins and how it transcends space-time. And that's the key here, okay? When we deeply learn the principle of correspondence and then study this image, we realize that it really is simply a symbolic mirror of the self. It's a map of consciousness symbolically. It's consciousness being traced down. And because this Masonic map is a representation of our temple, our soul, you know, our aggregated lodge, our aggregated consciousness, then we can logically conclude that with the knowledge we pull from this image, or the information we pull from this image as we bring knowledge to it, you know, from this tracing board, we can begin to understand the symbols, right, of our ancient past, aka the Great Pyramids, and also what the pyramid builders preserved for us to discover and understand. And if you're on the podcast page on show number 50, you'll see that I made a little layover with the opacity turned down of the tracing board. And it says tracing board at the top, but you'll see the three pyramids. You'll see the left, middle, and right pyramid. You'll see the north pyramid on the left and the south pyramid on the right. And then you see the two hemispheres, the two brain hemispheres, the left-brained hemisphere and the right-brained hemisphere, okay? So what I'm saying here is that if we truly wish to understand our origins and the ancient world, then we must learn the timeless symbolic language of Freemasonry, which this is about the translation of the deeper knowledge stored in these symbols that transcends the limitations of our modern language of today, right? So that's what these tracing boards are about. That's what they can do. It's a kind of pure communication with the past and the present. So tracing ourselves, kind of like tracing a map that leads to what? It leads to gold, spiritual gold, or truth. It's a map that conceals the higher knowledge of self. It's universal, okay? So I really wanted to just kind of clear that up. And another part that I mentioned that I'd like to talk about a little more is the key. So the key, as I stated on the last show, The key equals care. And just to add a little more green language and allegory to this part, we are in search for gold or truth, right? With a map, this tracing board, right? We're in search for gold or alchemical gold, right? Now, think of what gold is found in typically, and you know, in stories, and you know, in some kind of like a fictional story. It's found in a treasure chest, right? And what is it that's found in us, in our chest, our literal chest? It's our heart, right? So it's our heart where gold is found. It's the key, the care that unlocks the spiritual chest to the heart, you know, the heart of true self-love and heart-based intelligence. It's the very thing most are in search for, yet haven't read the map, right? They haven't discovered the map. They've either ignored the map or they just haven't found it, okay? And if you're here now, then obviously you've discovered it. But of course, it's definitely on you to find the key to unlock your own treasure chest, to find your own care, to unveil your own mystery. And that's what this directional map is here for. It's here and it's up to you to use and discover the treasure, okay? And it's also no surprise that there's an anchor in the middle with the middle fellowcraft initiate on the ladder. And of course, we get the connection with an anchor associated with a ship and a captain looking for treasure, right? So it's about you being the captain of your own ship. It's up to you to go on this journey, to find the key, to find your care, and then take this map to discover the gold, you know, the gold in the chest, in your heart. And many people think that the Great Pyramids have had treasure within them. And, you know, there's truth to that. But the real treasure there is within you. That's why the word holds the answer in itself. The word pyramid, which is pyra, mid, which is fire in the middle. So pyra meaning fire and mid meaning middle. And fire in the middle, this is about the heart, which is symbolic of what? Care. We have to re-illuminate care. And we have to re-illuminate our imagination to navigate the science and symbols to do so. And we do this through what? Care. Care itself is something that I believe begins to ignite once we realize how important and how much of an appreciation there is for this type of knowledge, especially knowledge of self. And it's when we realize true purpose and the value of being free from rulership of others. It's when we begin to, you know, truly realize our sovereignty and that the worship of man's authority is what's holding humanity back from living harmonious in nature, where our true being is really found, okay? And then caring enough to do something constructive to break the layers of chains that bind the soul from evolving into the higher type, you know, our higher potential. So care is about doing the great work, you know, coming online and taking in higher knowledge of self and aligning to natural law, putting principles first. And that's what this tracing board is all about. It's that unique journey that we're all individually on, okay? The image of Solomon's Temple is an enormous encyclopedia that we can come to and care enough to pull from it the structure of the inner sciences of self. So it was, we could just keep bringing tons of valuable knowledge to this image, and we will receive something from it, especially as we ruminate on it and meditate on it and really soak it in, because it is us, just in a archetypal form. So let's look at the pillars on this tracing board, okay? This tracing board of the Temple of Solomon. And I briefly covered these on the last show, and I'm going to go ahead and rehash what I already mentioned, but with a further explanation. Now, if you're following along with the slides, especially the slide of the whole image of the Entered Apprentice, the Temple of Solomon, you'll see three columns or three pillars. And the pillar on the left is known as the Pillar of Jachin. And the pillar on the right is the Pillar of Boaz. And then the middle pillar is referred to as Jacob's Ladder. And this is the Wisdom Pillar. Now, what we really need to understand before learning these pillars is how seeing dualistically is how we arrive at seeing unified or unity, okay? And what I mean is, we can't understand the one without understanding the two, as in we can't understand the whole without understanding its parts. And like I said about the yin-yang symbol, first, we need to understand the yin and the yang before we can see and understand the whole yin-yang, which is the one, okay? So understanding the dark helps us understand light, and understanding light helps us understand dark, which then it eventually helps us understand both as one. And once we understand the left and the right pillars, then we can begin to erect and understand the middle pillar, the one, okay? We have to contemplate with the principle of correspondence. That's really, really important. We have to contemplate with the principle of correspondence to really realize how and why these pillars are symbolic of our brain hemispheres, okay? The left pillar is mirroring the left brain. The right pillar is mirroring the right brain, okay? And the middle pillar is mirroring the whole brain, which is about being unified spiritually. I mean, the middle pillar is also really about, you know, yeah, it's like the unification of the right and left, where the corpus callosum is located. Right down the middle of the brain where the pineal is. So it's about understanding the pineal as well. But this is about erecting this middle pillar spiritually. And as we learn the principle of gender, we understand that the whole universe is made of masculine and feminine energy, right? Like the yin-yang. And we have the feminine yin energy, which is dark, and the masculine yang energy, which is light. So then the left pillar is the pillar of light, and light is the penetrative force in nature. And the right pillar is the shadowy pillar of darkness. Darkness is submissive to light. So masculine energy of light is the penetrative force that the darkness submits to and receives. It's passive to it. Okay. So think of the sun's light as masculine energy, which it is, that penetrates the submissive Mother Earth or the lunar moon surface or the, you know, the black waters of space. This is how we learn the simple science of the gender principle. And we need this understanding in order to realize the importance of these pillars, okay? Now, looking at the left pillar, the pillar of Jachin, This is the masculine pillar, the pillar of light. It's the column pointing at the sun on the top, okay? The top left. So this is the pillar, the solar pillar. And the S on the bottom represents strength and also represents serenity and stableness. And this is the active pillar. It's the positive pillar. And this is the pillar that holds the keys to understanding our left-brained aspects of consciousness, which are intellect, logic, science, and among others, analytical thought, okay? So the left hemisphere is correspondence to this left pillar. And this is in the northern part of the map, which is what we really need to keep in mind, as this is something I really want to explain later. But the symbol that isn't on this board that needs to be understood is the symbol that corresponds to the left brain or left pillar, which is the delta. And the delta is the Masonic equilateral triangle. And this equilateral triangle is, in this case, symbolically representing the blade and the elemental fire symbol of the masculine pillar, okay? Or the masculine energy. So this is the equilateral triangle, the delta. And it's all part of understanding the sacred masculine principle, the left pillar. So I really just want you to understand that. That's very, very important that we really ingrain that into our mind, that that's what that is. I mean, it's already there, but this is to help us understand that part of ourselves. Now, looking to our right, the south side direction of this trestle board, this tracing board, we see the shadowy dark pillar. Okay, the pillar on the right. The pillar of Boaz, which is lunar and points up towards the moon. So the B on the base of the pillar represents Boaz or beauty. This is the sacred feminine pillar. And this pillar conceals the sacred feminine aspects of consciousness, including creativity, big picture thinking, intuition, compassion, and so on. So it's the negative and passive pillar. And again, you know, not negative in a bad way, negative as in negative space. That's what really needs to be understood here. Like negative in the sense of receiving light. It's not a bad thing. It's a passive energy. And this sacred energy is symbolic of the chalice, which is the inverted triangle. And this inverted triangle is the elemental water symbol as well, okay? So one way to think of the triangles regarding the sacred masculine and sacred feminine is the masculine equilateral triangle is the fire symbol, and the fire corresponds to the fiery sun, okay? And then the inverted triangle is the water symbol, and water is part of understanding emotion, okay? So the lunar sacred feminine energy. And this is true when we understand and observe that the moon, the lunar, governs the direction or tides of water. And obviously, everybody knows that we're all made of water, mostly water, right? Okay? So this is something that we really need to keep in mind when we arrive into the Fellowcraft degree as well. So looking at the slide of the alchemical wedding, now once we begin to work on and balance our pillars, our brain hemispheres, then Jacob's ladder begins to erect, okay? The middle pillar, known as the pillar of wisdom, begins to erect. And when we apply our knowledge of the trivium, the esoteric trivium process, we understand that first comes knowledge, and then an understanding of that knowledge, which then leads to wisdom, the rhetoric and output, right? So wisdom is the action of what we do with what we know and understand. So knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And as we become conscious of the dual pillars, we come to an understanding where we can produce and demonstrate what we know and understand. And this begins to unify the left and right pillars into one, into the middle pillar. This is the union or light wedding. It's the alchemical wedding. It's the spiritual bridge built from both sides of the hemispheres, where the keystone bonds them in the middle, and the perfected ashlar is fitted for its sturdy foundation. Okay? And this is where the sacred feminine spiritual inverted triangle, the chalice and the sacred masculine triangle or blade, where they come together, unifying as mind. And it's important that when we study the alchemical wedding, that we think of three in terms of thought, emotion, and action. So you have the father, the mother, and the child, or the creator, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. The Father being the thoughts, the Holy Ghost being the emotions or spirit or mother, and the Son being the child, you know, the Son or the action. This is the science of the Holy Trinity, okay? So if you really want to understand the Holy Trinity, you have to understand the three, including the three aspects of consciousness, thought, emotion, and action. The Father, the Mother, and the Child, the Creator, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. Okay? That's how we arrive at understanding the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity. We have to understand that the Child in the Trinity is represented as the Son, because the Son is masculine, which is the active principle, as is wisdom. So wisdom is the masculine principle. That's part of understanding the masculine principle. Wisdom is a masculine expression combined with the sacred feminine emotion, which creates a real synthesis of true care. And this manifests right, correct, and moral actions that we see in the world. And wisdom is the application of what? It's at the application of knowledge through understanding, which means the sacred child is always masculine because it's an active principle. It manifests from a balanced positive emotion and intuition of the sacred feminine and thoughts of the sacred masculine, okay? So remember, thought, emotion, and action when you look at these pillars, when you're thinking of the Holy Trinity. And on that note, I'd like to have you look at the slide that says stereoscopy, the one with the ionic pillar, the double side-by-side photo of the same photo of the ionic pillar. Now, this is a really neat oculus or eye experiment that I feel helps the imagination understand this tracing board a little better, a little deeper. And if you're not familiar with this experiment, it's really awesome. It's basically a technique for enhancing or creating the illusion of depth in an image and the way that, you know, binocular vision is. So it's a way of stereopsis. And the word stereoscopy derives from the Greek stereos, which means firm, solid, and scopio, which means to look, to see. So what you do with this image is if you're looking at the two pillars, you just slowly cross your eyes until you see the third pillar in the middle. Now, take your time and make sure your head and eyes are in a, you know, level position, so that way both pictures create a really nice solid one right in the middle. So you should see one really way more defined pillar in the middle. You should see two other pillars on the right and left, that you're not really looking at those, but because you're crossing your eyes. But what should happen is both of those pillars should meet right in the middle, and you see this really crisp pillar. Now, this is an interesting technique that I shared in my newest presentation, and I felt it was a helpful way to translate the alchemical marriage of the pillars, okay? You know, with an actual visual of high definition, because that's what spiritual marriage does to our vision. It allows us to be in a, you know, balanced frequency and see in a higher resolution. And it helps that this image is of pillars, you know, to really help me convey what I'm trying to say. But I also, I put some other stereoscopy images up if you want to try those. And they're pretty cool as well. I think the one with the bird really stands out the most. I think that one looks visually the coolest out of all of them, or out of the three that I shared. But the one with the pillars to me is the most important with what I'm trying to help people understand. But the reason I'm having people try this technique is to inspire their imagination to get the idea of two eyes or two pillars coming together in order to have a higher resolution of seeing, or, you know, both hemispheres of the brain coming together and working in unison to gain clarity or high resolution, especially understanding knowledge inwardly, like this, like what you're gathering from this tracing board regarding Freemasonry. So you can look at this technique like an old, you know, 1990s box TV versus a new 4K flat screen. The definition is way better on the flat screen, right? And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is the reason for that? Well, obviously it's because technology has advanced, right? Well, the same is true for our mind. And as we individually advance inwardly, we evolve spiritually. It's about evolving our spiritual technology. We advance in being able to see and understand the occult, the hidden realm, with clarity. It's about rays of light to see clearer. It's about raising in consciousness from dark to light. So with the stereoscopy experiment, we physically look outwardly with our eyes crossed to cause a higher definition of the one middle pillar made by two, right? Now mirror that physical experiment in your mind, in your imagination, spiritually, and what you'll get is the light wetting of the hemispheres or pillars, which obviously takes time and knowledge to understand. But it's the two hemispheres of the brain symbolically coming together inwardly in unison to find clarity, you know, the higher resolution in what we know. And then we ask ourselves, how's this done? Well, it's done through knowledge. Knowledge of the aspects of both hemispheres. Knowledge of self. Right? That's what this whole tracing board is for, which is gaining a higher resolution of self and evolving. And as we trace ourselves, we gain that higher resolution. So it's about the more wisdom we produce and give, the more we are able to build this middle pillar, which then that means the more we realize who or what I is. It's about the big question, who am I? Or who is I? And this pillar with the all-seeing eye above the middle pillar, this corresponds to the lowercase I symbol. Okay, the lowercase letter I symbol. The microcosmic universe. And as we continue on this quest, I becomes more revealed. And I myself can't tell you who you are because I'm not your authority, as is anybody else. Okay? But I can say that as we understand this science further, we realize that I is not here to be a slave. The more knowledge we bring to this degree, or to these degrees, the more the EYE, the I, becomes filled with light. And that's because it's this pillar, it's ionic. This pillar structure is ion IC. You know, the more I is on, the more I see, because it's ionic. See, that's what's encrypted in that word. Now, looking at the slides that says column capitals, these are drawings of the tops of actual physical columns. Okay, so the middle pillar is the ionic column, and then the left masculine pillar is the Doric column, and the right feminine pillar is the Corinthian column. Now, these are Greek style structures, okay? And as we are observing them, we can see that the Doric column is smooth and more plain, okay? To where when we look at the Corinthian pillar, this is the most beautiful of the three columns, right? You know, and the lines or flutings going up and down are more appealing, and the rows of acanthus leaves at the top of the capital of the column are more, they're more pleasing to the eye. Just like the moon is more pleasing to the eye than the sun, right? So that's really important that we pay attention to the architecture as well, because it corresponds the feminine and masculine principles, okay? Now, we are going to go to the northeast side of this tracing board and study the sun. What is the sun? I actually have no idea what the sun is, and I believe nobody else does either. But what we do know is if we don't have the sun's light in our lives, then what happens? We're doomed, right? Now think about that. Think about that in correspondence to consciousness. If we don't have light, we roam around in darkness. We're roaming in ignorance. Okay? So we have to understand how the whole world, the whole universe, the celestial bodies are helping us understand ourselves by understanding what they do for us. You know, the sun, you know, rises over the horizon, and we can look at our consciousness like rising. But where does it rise from? It rises from the darkness, because before the sun comes up, it's dark, right? So if we can learn to look at consciousness in the same way that the sun rises and falls, then we will have the keys to understanding what these mystery traditions are trying to help us understand about ourselves and what the ancients were trying to tell us hundreds of thousands of years ago, and what the sciences that they put into the zodiac, right? So the symbol of the sun is of really high importance and significance when it comes to masonry. You know, this is the source material light, the sun. And it reminds the student of the intellectual light that is constantly sought after, you know, and searched for or chased after. You know, the sun is the ruler of the day sky. The sun indicates a beginning and an end. It is the light and the rays from early day to sunset. It is symbolic of all four seasons, okay? It is this S-O-N that comes as the savior, with light as life. It represents truth, as truth is the hardest thing to look at, right? This is what it's meant when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay, so Jesus is the archetypal sun. Okay, I feel like a broken record saying this, but you know, it's not about whether real Jesus actually lived or not. Okay, we have to also, if you believe Jesus, fine, but we also have to look at Jesus as an archetype, and I think that's where we're really going to find the most enlightenment, is looking at that, not whether someone named Jesus actually lived or not, okay? So, our son is our savior. Jesus is known as the savior, right? So, as the sun rises from the east star, east star, it rejuvenates. And that's why we go in search of light towards the east, symbolically, because it's about going towards the direction of truth, to find truth. The sun is the dot within a circle in the solar mythos, and this is the symbol of alchemical gold. It is the direction towards enlightenment. And as one progresses in their work to demystify the self and ascend further up that ladder and look into the sun, into the truth, they will realize that this light symbolically conceals the knowledge of sovereign authority, okay, of self. Sovereign authority, having authority over the self and no others, and not allowing anyone to have authority over the self, over their self, right? And they will have enough light to pull the sword from the stone, so to speak, right? To have true care. To have true care to pull that sword from the stone and be able to take on that responsibility. The solar symbol is, I mean, it is a huge, important study. It's incredibly important. It's one of the most important studies you could ever do, actually. Now, as the sun rules the day sky and the four season cycle, okay? Then there is the moon, which rules the night sky, and the months, or the moons. Okay? It represents the rhythm of time as it embodies the cycle, The moon is lunar, okay? It governs emotion. It's a sacred feminine energy. The moon literally and symbolically receives light from the sun at night to help guide the student through the darkness, the underworld, okay? So literally, if you go outside and look at the moon, you know that it is receiving light from the sun and reflecting it to us. So it's symbolical of that. And this celestial orb symbolizes the mother. It symbolizes fertility, you know, the 13 moon cycles, right? And the moon symbolizes compassion and, you know, giving received light in the sense of having light to give to others. And it's also about the emotional power, like I said earlier about water, okay? Because it governs our emotions and it is the protector. The moon is about protection, you know? Look at all those craters on the moon. You think the moon isn't protecting us? And this is also about understanding the waxing and waning of the light reflected off of the moon from the sun. And the symbol for this is the two crescent moons on the left and right side of a full moon, okay? The waxing stage is the growing stage, which is about beginnings and rejuvenation, okay? It's about aligning the beginning breath of fresh air of receiving light or higher knowledge. And waxing is about receiving information. It's like the idea of beginning to fill up your cup. And then, of course, your cup becomes full, you know, like the full moon. And full moon means your cup is full. Okay? You've capped you're capped out, right? You've capped out for now with light or knowledge, right? It's like the trivium process. You have the input, you have the processing, and then the output, which is the waning, which is rhetoric or wisdom, you know, giving back, pouring out. It's about birth, growth, decay. The moon is also associated with the mother, with the mother Mary, and also the ancient Egyptian goddess Isis. It's the Holy Ghost, and it's the spirit principle because it's associated with the unseen forces in nature. Now, between the sun and the moon, we see the eye, the all-seeing eye. And this is a really powerful symbol to study and understand. It is a symbol that represents the eye of the all-seeing creator or grand architect of the universe or supreme being, okay? Symbolically, this eye is symbolic of the eye of Shiva. It's also symbolic of the eye of Horus and the eye of Zeus, of divine omniscience, all-knowing, right? This all-seeing eye is also synonymous with the dot within the circle, especially in regards to the ancient Egyptian stellar mythos, right? The dot within the circle was equal to the point at the top of the triangle. And this glyph is equivalent to the eye, the all-seeing eye, which is in this circle of the North Pole star, where there were seven glorious ones, where there actually is seven stars, okay? Seven stars that are all grouped together in the constellation of the Little Bear, the constellation that's revolving around what is known to be the Most High. And it's also known to be the Great Judge and, of course, the All-Seeing Eye. And this was symbolized by the pole star what we now know as Polaris, which was the center of the circumpolar enclosure of the firmament in the north. So the all-seeing eye, the Most High, is the number seven. It's the little bear. Okay? And we have to keep in mind that in the north, the pole star Polaris never sets below the horizon line. Okay? That's why it's considered the Most High. God is considered the Most High. So it's symbolic of the eye of God. Now, looking at the sun and moon on this tracing board, we have to remember, I said this, this is about the marriage of the left and right, the left brain and the right brain, the alchemical wedding of the sacred masculine and sacred feminine, okay? Now think about the general shape of the eye. I want you to look at the slide with the all-seeing eye images, okay? Now, the general shape of an eye is likened to the shape of the vesica Pisces, right? So, you know, it's like that the fish symbol that we see on the back of cars that says Jesus in it, okay? Well, that little part that looks like the fish minus the fins, that shape, okay? Like a football shape. A 2D football shape, of course. Now, this vesica Pisces shape is really powerful to pay attention to. We have to understand that this symbol is the symbol of the birth canal. It's, like I said, it's the fish symbol. It's the literal shape of the mother's birth canal. Okay? The general shape of the birth canal. It's symbolically the birth canal of wisdom, because it's the eye, because it's the part of the middle pillar. It's the birth canal of enlightenment. It's the eye of light. But it's about the coming together of the sun and moon energy, the masculine and feminine energy. So input would be the sun, and then the processing being the moon, because being the eye would be the wisdom, right? That's the output. So you can look at this in literal terms, in the sense of intercourse, right? The gestation period, and then birth. So intercourse, the gestation period, and then out comes the baby, right? But it's about the spiritual energies of the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine merging into marriage, and then generating the I, okay? So I does not become enlightened. You don't fill the eye with light until both hemispheres come together in a marriage. And it's also analogous to a human having two eyes that we can see, right? And then one eye we can see with. Okay? And of course, that one eye being the third eye, the pineal gland. Now, when there is a solar eclipse, when the moon eclipses the sun, this is a symbolic marriage of the sacred masculine and sacred feminine. This is where we get the wedding ring made by the sun's light, the ring of light around the moon as the moon eclipses the sun. So you'll see the moon becoming really dark, and then you'll see this really bright ring around the moon, which is the sun. And then there's, you know, you'll typically see a little spark of light on that ring, which sparks like a sparkle of a diamond ring, okay? That's one reason I believe the diamond ring is so big in traditional marriage. You know, that can't be wrong. There's no coincidence there. Okay? So it's really, really sacred. It's a very sacred thing to understand. Oh, man, this fly just keeps flying in my face, and he's going to get... I'm going to knock him out. Now, looking at an actual eye where the pupil is really big, and there's only a small ring of the color of the eye around the black part, this is really important to recognize, okay? And this is an incredible correspondence to the eclipse, which is in correspondence to the all-seeing eye. I mean, it's just, I mean, I have no words. It's just amazing that we can actually look into our eye and see that ring of color around our black pupil and recognize that this is exactly like the eclipse, and then how the eclipse is in correspondence to the all-seeing eye, which is erected by the sun and moon coming together in a marriage, in an alchemical marriage. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. And I hope you're following along and looking at the slide that shows the all-seeing eye, the vesica Pisces, the eclipse, and then someone's eye with the ring of color around the pupil. I mean, it is really interesting. Now, the pupil being big is about taking in lots of information as well as seeing with light in the dark. That's why our pupils get, you know, really big in low lit areas. So that's important to keep in mind how it corresponds in that way. Now, another thing to consider about the eye is about cone vision, right? The cone is really, really important to understand when we're studying the eye, because it holds the mystery of the circled dot, as well as the all-seeing eye and the Christmas tree. Okay? Yes, even the Christmas tree. It's about seeing with one. Okay? Think of the word cone. To see with one, because the letter C is with one. All right. Now, something I want you to figure out on your own within this tracing board is I want you to take your time, take your eyes, and follow where I guide you. I want you to start at the bottom of the ladder, okay? And move your eyes up the ladder to the sun. Then over to the eye in the middle. And on over to the moon. Now, what your eyes just traced is a really important symbol that can be revealed when this image is flipped either north or south. It, you know, and maybe you've already figured it out by now, but it's there for you to learn and understand. I mean, all of this is really, but I'm leaving it up to you to reveal that secret to yourself, okay? This tracing board takes lots of concentration, okay? You hear that fly? I'm gonna knock you out, man. Better leave me alone. I mean, he has just been buzzing around my head this whole time. I must stink or something. Must need a shower. But this this trestle board, this tracing board, takes a lot of concentration and meditation, you know. And it's when we focus our attention and really ruminate on this, on what we know, then what happens is there comes this contemplation, okay? Looking and thinking on this image for a long period of time is what really reveals the secrets of self. And I really just can't stress that enough. I mean, I have this image hanging up in my room right now, and I'm always just staring at it and looking for something. And, you know, sometimes I get to a place where I know that I'm overlooking, and that's okay. But sometimes all it takes is me doing some research, and all of a sudden something comes out of it. Just when you thought that this image couldn't possess any more knowledge, it fools you in that way, because you just don't know until you actually possess the right type of knowledge that this board will help unveil the mystery of what you know. Okay? Now, I want you to find the slide with the first degree tracing board on its right side, where the north is up and then the south is down, where the lunar pillar is on the bottom and then the solar pillar is on the top, okay? One thing we need to keep in mind when studying the occult and the mind is how our brain hemispheres are interacting and how they work, and also how they are in correspondence to the earth hemispheres. And I know that's a very abstract thing to contemplate, but it's how we understand the small picture and the big picture, you know, how they correspond to each other. So looking at the tracing board on its right side with the direction west on the left and the direction east on the right, we see that the latter still directs us up towards light, okay? And that's really important that we pay attention to that, okay? This is about understanding, this whole image is about understanding astrotheology, the science of celestial bodies and their cycles. You know, the study of allegorical symbolism within the zodiac, along with, you know, biblical texts. Okay? So this is still about the spiritual journey of man. Okay? So the west side, the checkerboard floor side, represents earth and represents the prison that man is born into, you know, the natural state of ignorance or base consciousness. All right, almost got him. Daggone fly. So, like I was saying before I was rudely interrupted by that fly again, this is about understanding that Earth is to the west. So the checkerboard floor is on the west side of this map, okay? And this is about our natural state of ignorance. It's about base consciousness. It's about darkness, okay? And the vertical and horizontal lines of the checkerboard floor are in relation to longitude and latitude of the earth, okay? So the top masculine pillar pointing to the sun is the zodiacal sign of the Tropic of Cancer. And this is about the sun being in its highest point in the midsummer, okay? So the Tropic of Cancer is a parallel of the latitude on Earth, which is 23.5 degrees north of the equator. And on the northern summer solstice and the southern winter solstice, around the 21st of June each year, the sun reaches its most northerly declination of 23.5 degrees, okay? Now down to the pillar pointing to the moon. This is representative of the Tropic of Capricorn. And the Tropic of Capricorn, or the Southern Tropic, is the circle of latitude that contains the subsolar point at the December, or, you know, southern solstice. It's at the polar opposite side of the sun's northern summer solstice, okay? It's where the sun is at during the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere, okay? So that's really important that we understand the locations and keep ourselves oriented, all right? We have to understand that the sun being on the top and to the east is about summer solstice and day sky. And the moon represents the sun at its lowest point, or in the night sky, because when the sun goes below the horizon, we get the night sky and typically the moon, right? And of course, the sun going to its lowest point in the winter. So the sun going to its lowest point in the winter is symbolic on this map by the moon. The moon represents the sun in the winter solstice, okay? Now looking at the three lights in the east, okay? The three lights meaning the sun, the moon, and the eye, which also represents the stars and planets, okay? And that's really important because it's about understanding that as we work from the west to the east spiritually, we find light. We are in the search of light. We are gaining light. We are becoming knowledgeable of self. We are going from base consciousness and earthly desires towards enlightenment. And this corresponds to the zodiac. And it's really important that we stay oriented, because what this board shows is going from west to east, and it is symbolic of going from, you know, the southwest, where darkness is darkest, and then up towards light, which is northeast, which is the direction of enlightenment. Okay? Now, not only is this important when studying astrotheology and man's spiritual journey, but it's also important to recognize how it's been corrupted with the solar being dominant, as in, you know, male dominator patriarchy, right? What Doug refers to as primacy in the north, where the world aggregate of consciousness has gone into a material masculine imbalance within, okay? Which then has manifested out into the world, which we can obviously observe as something that has definitely been taking place for thousands of years, okay? But what we have to remember is it's about realizing that the goal in nature is triangle on top of the square, as the stellar pyramid builders have preserved for us to remember about ourselves, which is spirit over the physical, and not the other way around, with material over the spirit, as what we see today. So in other words, today it's mostly square over the triangle in the aggregate, which is an inverted house or temple. And that's not a good thing, okay? We have to remember that the spirit is associated with the sacred feminine, which is the lunar principle, the sacred feminine energy. Okay, so it's important that we remember that the latter going to the sun strictly means going solely to the light, okay, to enlightenment, but east and right, okay, because east and right is the goal in this earth map, with all three lights to the right, to the east, which is about balance and equilibrium. And it's about balancing the hemispheres of the brain, which then helps balance the rest of the world. Because the earth is corresponding to our hemispheres. And that's, like I said, that's a very abstract thing. And it's something that I will definitely be getting into on this show in further episodes, okay? But if we look deeper into this image, we will find that the earth or checkerboard area with the three pillars all together, this creates the symbol of the capital E, okay? So looking at the slide with the capital letter E up on the top, okay? The capital letter E is really, really esoteric to understand. In this image, this symbol, this capital letter E, stands for many, many things, including Earth, because as we see, this image on its side represents Earth and its seasons, right? And it also represents esoteric, because this is dealing with the inner world. And then you have the word erect, because it's about erecting the pillars, okay? And then you have equality, because it's about natural law. It's about all men are equal under natural law. It's about equilibrium, because that's the goal of Freemasonry. That's the goal of the initiate. Okay? And then you have equinox, because it's also about the spring and fall equinox, especially in regards to the journey in consciousness. And then you have equator, because it's dealing with the earth and winter and summer solstices and the north. And the northern and southern hemispheres, okay? Then you have the word east, because east is the direction towards light, towards the rising sun. It's towards the savior, right? Then you have eclipse, because the eclipse is about the solar eclipse of the moon and the sun, the marriage. And then you have ether, because ether is the fifth element associated with spirit. And that's what this whole image is about. It's about understanding the unseen realm. And then you have the word eye, because this whole image represents the vision of the all-seeing eye. You also have the word L, E-L, the name for God, okay? And then you have the word enlightenment, as this whole image is about guiding the student towards enlightenment. And maybe you'll find more words that go with this image. But the last capital letter, E word, which is what really needs to be recognized, as this word is really the symbol and place that bears the origins of the knowledge of this E, is Egypt. And Egypt is the magical land where this science is preserved in the greatest monuments ever built. Okay? That's what this map does. It traces us back into antiquity. It's about rememberment, you know, to remember ourselves because we've been dismembered. So tracing ourselves through remembering with the higher knowledge, right? Oh, and don't forget entered apprentice. So entered, E stands for entered. Now, in Harold Bailey's book, The Lost Language of Symbolism, he speaks about the capital letter E being equivalent to the letter of light, okay? The 5 points of E caused it to be regarded as equivalent to the 5-pointed star of Solomon's seal. And it's also the 5th letter in the English alphabet, as well as the Egyptian, Phoenician, Greek, and Latin alphabets, okay? It forms the key of light. And this leads me to the Greek scholar and philosopher Plutarch of the Temple of Apollo in Delphi, okay? Who wrote Moralia. And Moralia means moral, okay? He said that the capital letter E is the number 5, which is the marriage of the feminine number 2 and the masculine number 3. And the number 2 being feminine, okay? Because in the case of divisions and in equal parts, the even number being parted equally in 2 parts leaves behind a receptive principle, which is feminine, okay? So it's a space between 2. And the odd number, 3, is treated in the same way, but the middle part of the 3 still survives, which means it is productive of division, in which the way it is, it, in this way, it is more generative than the other. And when the 3 and the 2 are united, the 3 prevails. But it never overcomes because the even, the 2, comes from both with no conjunction of the 2, of the 2 numbers. Whereas the odds, the 3, it does in all, okay? Now, think of what I said about the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. The Pythagoreans designated the 5 to marriage as being generated through the resemblance of the odd number to the male and the even to the female, which ended up being called nature. I definitely recommend reading Plutarch's Moralia essay. There's a lot of really interesting information in there. Definitely something I'd like to further my studies into. But another thing I want to mention about the capital E in this sideways image of the tracing board is this is the symbolic reason why knowledge is so important. We read and write from left to right, corresponding from west to east. From west to east. You know, taking in knowledge and writing it down is the act of the direction east. So we can look at the tracing board on its right side as how we trace the direction we act on, how we, you know, trace our alphabetical letters in the right direction, how we trace them down by investigating their origins as well, okay? And this can be in either direction, you know, being east being up or east being right, okay? Now, earlier I mentioned the key being the heart or care, right? When we are looking at this image on its side, okay, we see the gravity of the earth pulling that key towards the west, okay? And what I've come to understand is when we know that the key equals heart and care, then we can compare it to the ancient Egyptian Hall of Judgment, where the heart is weighed against the feather, right? Is the key too heavy? Is the student not aligned in truth? Is the heart not as light as the feather? Is the key not as light as the feather? Okay? These are the serious questions that the student will ask or needs to ask. Okay. Now, looking at this trestle board, the corner tassels found at each corner of the first degree tracing board, these symbolize the four cardinal virtues, which are fortitude, temperance, justice, and mercy. These tassels represent the whole spiritual lodge, and they also symbolize the bond of love as well as the mystic tie that binds the craft, you know, this whole craft spread out into one band of spiritual brotherhood. And the tassellation that you see, the little lightning looking arrangement attached to the tassels, you can look at the tassellation as a cord in a crinkled or crimped pattern, symbolizing that this information within this image is within, it's crimped. And then as we share this knowledge, it can be spread out, okay? You know, out to all four corners of the earth. So just imagine this image can be crimped further and scaled down and concealed within, or it can be expanded further by all four tassels being pulled in all four directions. Now think of that symbolically, okay? That's what we have to think about with all this stuff, symbolically. And this whole image is also what's known as the Master's Carpet. It's a magic carpet, okay? It conceals the three steps or three stages of human life, including youth, manhood, and old age. It's a simplified and more magical form of the latter. It pervades, or it's present in all systems of initiation from the ancient world up until now. And what does this magic carpet do symbolically, of course? It flies, right? It goes where the pilot guides it, right? And it defies gravity, right? So why would that be? Because it's, you know, just some made-up nonsense? No, it's because it's an allegory of having light, to be light. Because light can be the opposite of the physical world and its gravity. The more we gain light about ourselves, the lighter we become spiritually. And the more we learn about ourselves, the less we'll need this ladder to go up and down, because we will have the knowledge, we'll have the light to be able to fly, because we're light and weight symbolically. We're able to fly or move around anywhere in our lodge, our grand library lodge, our grand library of consciousness. We can draw out from this tracing board without tracing. I mean, you know, there's just so much more to this tracing board. And I could go on and on, but I think it's important that if you've made it this far, it's really up to you to want to know more at this point. So, and something else I want to say is, I really hope that if you are a student of this craft and you already know this type of information, I hope maybe I've pointed out some things new to you. So I'm going to go ahead and end it here, and I hope you've gained lots of light from this episode, especially if you're a beginner or you're just now being initiated. The pillars and everything in between really are analogous to the scrolls in the sense that there's so much to learn between them, right? That's what it's symbolically saying. The pillars are a fundamental, symbolic, and eternally synchronistic measurement of the whole spiritual realm. So if anyone is interested in more content, there's more shows, presentations, and news, which can be found at cubbyhole.com. Also, please definitely make sure to not miss the next shows where I'll be going further into esoteric Freemasonry and explaining the G square, as well as going into the Fellowcraft degree. And as I said on the last show, it's not a good idea to get this far and not go any further, because a little bit of knowledge can be a very dangerous thing. So if you have any questions regarding these topics for these shows, please email me at cubbyhole@mail.com. Also, any donations are always appreciated, as anything that's given goes directly to the Cubbyhole website to keep it up and to keep it running and up to date. So just hit the donation button on the website at the top, and it's set up pretty easy to navigate from there. And I just want to say thanks so much to those who have donated so far. Okay, I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Thank you for listening, and keep in mind, do no harm, defend truth, and keep transcending dogma.